MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
So, rugby fans across South Africa are feeling the pinch as Springbok test match tickets skyrocket. It's all part of a new pricing model that has come or has some supporters questioning whether they're actually getting value for money. Now, South African rugby arguing the increase is necessary to sustain the broader rugby ecosystem from grassroots clubs to broadcast partnerships. But critics point out that local fans are now paying significantly more, even compared to international fixtures, with some tickets nearly triple the price of an All Blacks test overseas. So I thought it would be useful to discuss the economics of all of this and maybe evaluate the principles behind pricing strategy. And I'm in conversation with Davi Ruert, a regular guest on this program, chief economist at the Efficient Group. So Davi, from an economist's perspective, what fundamental principles should govern sports ticket pricing? Have you applied your mind to that?
A little bit, yes. Hi, Jeremy. I think this is quite simple and straightforward. I think you can ask a first-year microeconomics student to get you the answer to that. But basically what it comes down to is that the rugby union wants to make as much money as possible. And it doesn't matter what you are selling. In the case of the rugby union, by the way, they are a monopoly seller because there's one product that they can sell that nobody else can sell, and that is the Springboks, of course. So they're selling the Springboks, and what they want to achieve, they want to make as much money as absolutely possible. Now, if you look at the theory, if you are a monopolist, then you can actually make more money than people that's not a monopoly. And the reason for that is simply that you're selling a product that nobody else can sell, and that means you can put you can apply a larger and a bigger margin to whatever your prices are. And that's exactly what this is. This is simply a monopoly product that is being sold by a certain organization, and they want to make as much money as possible. What happens in theory, when you look at the normal competitive market, you will find that eventually the price of things will eventually equal the marginal cost of things. What that basically means is that the prices will keep on drifting lower with normal competition until the input cost and the price of that specific product is the same. That's the theory behind this. In the case of a monopoly, it doesn't work like that. So the prices will be set at a certain level to maximize the profits of the monopolist, but that will not be equal to the input cost of the monopolist. In other words, prices will be higher than under normal competitive conditions. And that means that the monopolist, in this case, the rugby union, will be making what economists call monopolistic profits, which is much bigger than would have been otherwise the case. And that is the reason why they are so very protective on their brand, on their product. Mm-hmm. And the product in this case are, of course, the Springboks.
Davi, is there a risk or a threshold that high prices at some point suppress demand and we see either empty stadiums or even a damage to the unique fan culture that the Springboks have?
That is not the point, Jeremy. It's not whether there are some empty seats, because the monopolist in this case wants to maximize profits. And in order to maximize profits, that means there will be a lot of wastage. In this case, the wastage will be in the form of empty seats. He can't sell the empty seats for cheaper, because the moment he starts selling the empty seats, of course, the ideal situation will be sell your expensive seats, as many expensive seats as you possibly can, and then on the last moment, then you start selling the other seats, the remaining seats at a much lower price in order just to sell them and get some bumps on the seat to make even more money. But in practice, that is not possible. So typically, and this is a very good example of that, whenever you talk about the monopoly, there are some wastage. And in this instance, the wastage are in a form of seats that are not being filled. So clearly what monopolists in this instance is doing, and that's very much in line with theory, is that they want to maximize their profits. They do not necessarily want to fill up the stadiums. That's not their prime objective.
So, Davi, obviously you're arguing this like an economist. Let me come at it from a bleeding heart perspective, though. Is there a role that either fairness or social equity plays in ticket pricing? And maybe local fans get subsidized access, for instance.
Okay, let's again look at the theory. Let's forget about the bleeding heart part, but let's just look at the theory again. And there's a theoretical part to this as well. So if we as a society argue that the Springboks belong to us as a country and that we should all be able and be allowed at the affordable price, we should all be allowed to go and watch rugby games, for example. Say that is our argument as a society, then you can achieve that, but then you make watching rugby games a collective good, if that makes sense. Pretty much like, for example, the police being a collective good. The police is a collective good, defense is a collective good, and so on. If you accept that that is a collective good, that everybody should be allowed affordably to go and watch a rugby game, then you must also accept the collective cost to that. And the collective cost to that then will be a tax on society. To put differently, if this is your way of thinking, then what we should be doing, we should increase taxes, use those taxes to subsidize for rapid tickets and everybody can afford it. So that is the theoretical approach to that. But getting to your bleeding heart argument, yes, I guess so. I guess you can say that everybody should be allowed and the Springboks belong to all of us. It doesn't belong to the rugby union only, and they do not have the right to do that. I guess that is a valid argument, and I guess that's the kind of arguments that you will get from the, well, bleeding heart guys like you.
Davi, you talk about the monopolistic theory. In that respect then, how transparent should ticket pricing be? Should fans understand exactly what their money is funding?
Well, in practice, it's completely and totally transparent because that is what the monopolist is doing in this instance. In a case, for example, of it's a share price trading on a JSE, it is completely transparent because all the information is sort of caught up in that single price of any share price on the JSE. In the case of a monopoly like this one, the monopolist obviously wouldn't want everybody to know about this because that is part of his pricing power, in that he can set the price at a certain level. So, and that is exactly what is happening here. I am pretty sure they're not going to give us the thinking behind the pricing model, because if they do that, they will give away their trade secrets, essentially, showing us how they maximize their profits. So, yes, you can argue from a public perspective that it should be transparent, but I'm pretty sure that the rugby union is going to say there's no such model behind that. If they do not have a model behind, like I've just explained, then they're not doing a good job. A proper monopolist will employ the job of a first-year microeconomics student to get to the maximum price where they can maximize their profits, and I'm pretty sure they must have that.
Davi, the fact that we are selling Springbok tickets at three times the All Blacks price abroad, what does that say about their pricing strategy?
The article that you guys sent me said that it's adjusted for purchasing power parity. Now, I haven't checked that. I just have to admit to that. And I do not know exactly what they mean with purchasing power parity, because you can either increase prices or reduce prices, depending on from what side you're looking at it. You're looking from New Zealand side, or you're looking from the South African side. I suspect what they've done, they've adjusted the prices in South Africa for New Zealand prices. And that means then that South Africa, we pay much more for tickets in South Africa than what the New Zealanders pay for tickets, or what we would have paid for tickets if we should go to New Zealand to watch a rugby playing there. If you do that, then you bring another variable into the conversation, and that is the value of the currency, the rand. And as we know, the rand is a usually undervalued currency, and that's then contributing to the price of the... I think the point I want to make, you cannot really compare prices in South Africa to prices in other countries because of the exchange.
Davi Ruert, it's always a pleasure talking to you, Chief Economist at The Efficient Group.